Praise God. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to St. John chapter 3. I think I ministered along these lines Wednesday night before I left to go to Lubbock. And I'm just going to continue back down that road and because I didn't get near finished with what I'd like to say. In fact, I said a lot of things I didn't know I was going to say. And so if you didn't get Wednesday night's message, you already get it, because I'm telling you, sometimes I have my plan and God has His. And during the process of the preaching, God takes me down another path, or the way I kind of presented it. I always tell people all the time, I said, you know, God kind of takes me to scriptures, and when I get up here, I figure out how I'm going to preach them. And it kind of goes as the Lord leads me to minister. And so we're going to start with verse 1 in John chapter 3 in the New Living Translation. It says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God's with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. That's being born naturally and by the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. You know, I'm not going to go through the rest of it, but listen to me. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you have to be born again. Born of the Spirit. We're born of water when we was born in this earth. We're born of the Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We're born again. Now, you know, we see a lot of people nowadays, they have all these deals going on in their lives, all this, you know, they got stuff, boys thinking they're girls, girls thinking they're boys and everything else. And they'll say, well, they're born that way. You know, their homosexuality stuff, they'll say, well, we were born this way. Well, you know, I'm not even going to argue that issue, but Jesus said you must be born again, and you won't be born that way the second time. I can assure you of that. So you must be born again. So even go to heaven, you have to be born again. Everybody shout, born again. And just like Nicodemus, he didn't understand how in the world can this happen, which we understand that here because we know what the Bible says about it, because we have more insight, in fact, than what Jesus actually said right at that moment. We have more revelation of how we're born again, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10. But the thing about it is, we have to be born again. And there's so many people, you know, there's literally there's hundreds of thousands of people coming into the kingdom of God right now. I mean, the harvest is on. The harvest is on. I had a guy tell me the other day in Pakistan, y'all know where Pakistan is over there with all that war's going on. He said there are people getting saved by the thousands there. And of course, there's a lot of people getting killed for it. There's the preachers over there being murdered and everything else, but they're still over there preaching. They won't shut their mouths. They can't get them to shut up. But they're over there preaching. Even though they're being murdered for doing it, they're preaching the gospel. And people are getting born again all over this. Muslims are coming in by the thousands. Jesus is appearing to them, and they're giving their hearts to God. They're being born again and coming into the kingdom. That's God's more concerned about the precious fruit of the earth than anything else. He's more concerned about us getting people saved than He is me having the luxuries of life, although He don't have a problem with that either. He wants us to have all the best in life, I believe. And the thing about it is, but He's more concerned about somebody being born again. Why? Because He's not delaying His return, the Bible says, but He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, which is people. The only thing we can take with us to heaven is people. Did you know that? We're even going to change our clothes when we go. Well, I'm not even going to heaven in this. If He came right now, I wouldn't get to wear this into heaven. I'd have me a robe of righteousness on. You say, I don't know if I want to wear robes. Listen, if you wasn't wearing a robe, you'd feel like you're out of place. So I'm telling you something. We got to understand God is wanting people born again, but He also wants us to know what happens when we get born again. There's a lot of people you can say, well, you got born again. They have no earthly idea what happened. I mean, they lived their whole life like nothing ever happened. Am I right? They lived like nothing ever happened. And it might not have. Depends on if there was a connection between the heart and the mouth. And so he said, you've got to be born again. And I found this out about something that's been born, a baby. And I said this, if you was here, how many was here Wednesday night? And so I said this Wednesday night, and I was, of course, we know this, all of us know that, because I was out looking for cows that I had, some cows having some calves, and I wanted to make sure, too, I knew was going to probably domino before I left, so I wanted to make sure their calves was all right. And sure enough, I seen one standing down there, and I knew she had just had that calf, so I drove down there. And when I looked, that baby had just got dried off. She had just cleaned that calf up, and that calf, you know what that calf was after? Milk. He was after the udder, the uttermost right there. And I'm telling you, he got after it, and that calf, she was just beside herself trying to get milk. She was after milk. And I'm telling you something, how many has ever watched a newborn calf trying to find it? They'll suck their knees. They'll suck their necks. They'll anything. They're just trying to find it. But honey, let me tell you one. When they latch on to the source of that milk, look out. They're fixing to pull some nutrition out of it. Amen. And they'll do it 3 or 4 times a day. And they just are so hungry and so thirsty for nourishment. You know what's happening to that calf when it starts nursing? It starts growing. If that calf does not nurse, it does not grow, and that calf will die. I'll say it again. If that calf does not nurse, it will not grow, and it will die, because it has to have the nourishment that mama produces to cause her growth, to cause her to be able to survive and live. We, as born-again Christians, we have to go for the Word. We have to, if you're not, listen, I'm not going to be ugly and I'm not going to be mean, but I'm going to be as your pastor. If you do not desire the Word of God, you're not going to grow and you're not going to experience the victory the way you ought to be experiencing it in your life. Come on, look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter, if you will, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. You must be born again. But listen, after you're born again, it's not all over, honey. I said, it's not over. There's still something to do. Amen? Look at what it says in verse 1 of 1 Peter, chapter 2. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Therefore, as newborn babes, now, let me ask you, all of us know this here, we're all adults and we've been taught enough to know this. When we're born again, the Bible likens us to babies. Am I right? You ever talk to somebody and you look, well, you're just acting like a baby. Anybody ever told an adult that? You don't have to point. You're just acting like a baby. Well, you know, in the Christian life, there's a lot of people still acting like babies. And the reason they're still acting like babies is because they are. Y'all ain't getting mad at me yet, are you? Give me a little bit more time. And so because they act like babies is because they are still babies. Because they never go for the milk. The Bible says as babies, you are to desire. That word actually means intensely crave. You are to intensely crave the pure milk of the Word of God. It ought to be something when you're born again, just like that baby calf goes for that milk and it's hungry and it was one. We are to be the same way. Listen to me. We're to be the same way. When we get born again, there should be a desire and a craving the Word of God. Why? Because it's in us to desire it. I said it's in us to desire it. You said, well, something must have happened to me because I didn't desire it when I got born again. Well, listen to me. I guarantee you there was something inside of you that was literally leading you to the Word. Well, a lot of people, they'll get saved and they'll start looking for a church, or they'll get saved in church and then they'll get established in church. People who get, listen to me, y'all know I'm not mean, don't you? People who say they got born again and never stepped foot in a church again, never opened their Bibles, never prayed, never do that, listen, death will tell. Death will tell whether they were born again or not, because so many people, well, they were saved, they're in a better place and all such stuff. Listen, not everybody that dies is in a better place. Do y'all know that? But the world says they are. The Bible says they're not. But we are born again, here's what happens when you start craving the Word of God. Listen. It's not enough just to crave it. I can crave ice cream and never go get none. I got to go for it. I remember times when I would drive 12 miles from Old Union, Texas down there. Y'all know where Old Union's at? I'd drive 12 miles to Brookshire's just to get some Bluebell ice cream. That's intensely desired it. Intensely craving it. And there's other times you said, I would like to have some, but I don't go for it, so I don't get it. And I'm telling you, it's the same thing in many Christians' lives. They know they need the Word of God, and they'll say, I need to read the Word of God. I know I need the Word of God, but never go for it. So oh my goodness, am I being mean? The thing about it is, just wanting something don't get it to you. Huh? You not only got to want it, you got to go after it. That baby calf, it wanted that milk, so it was going after it. I mean, it's going after it with every fiber of its being. It's running around. And you know, listen to me. And then there's been times in my experience as a person who raised cows and has calves and stuff like this, that I've literally had to take baby calves and teach them or help them to suck. That their mama couldn't figure it out or get, and I'd milk that mama and I'd put it, and then I'd have to squeeze this little mouth like that. Thank God we ain't got none of y'all that I got to squeeze your mouth to squeeze your mouth and say, come on, you got to get this, praise God. But I'm telling you something, it's when you're just hungry for the Word of God, and you know the only thing's going to satisfy me is the Word of God. Listen, there's a lot of people craving. There's a lot of people right now saying, I need to go somewhere. I know there's more to this Christian life. I know there's more to the Word of God. I'm craving it. I'm hungry for it, and I don't know what to do. And there's going somewhere where the Word's being preached so they can hear the Word of God, because they know it's satisfying something on the inside of them that wasn't being satisfied prior to that. Amen? And that's why we got to desire the Word of God. We got to crave the Word of God. And then we got to go after the Word of God. Huh? Listen. We're going to have to understand something. There's a value to this Word. And the value that we place upon it ourselves is what's going to determine what we get out of it or if we even go to it. Huh? Listen, I'm like anybody else. I'm human like anybody else. And there's times, listen to me, there's times I have to make myself hear it. Don't get mad at me because I'm your pastor. Why? Because the flesh has got so many other things to do. Huh? You got to feed your spirit. The ones that's the flesh or the spirit, they're both at a warring. And the one's going to be strongest is the one you feed the most. The domineering part of you is going to be the part you feed the most. And so he said, you've got to crave the Word of God. You've got to desire the Word of God. As newborn babes, it says we are, when you get born again, it should have been one of the first things that started being stirring on the inside of you. I need the Word. Hallelujah. I know when I was born again, I've told this 1,000 times, and praise God, I'm the one preaching, so I get to tell it again. First thing I did when I got saved out in the middle of a pasture is went and opened my Bible. Started reading it. Didn't understand nothing about it, but I knew it was doing something for me. Why? It was nourishment. It was nourishment. It started causing me to grow. Well, I'm analyzing myself for a minute. If I hadn't have went to that Word, I probably wouldn't be standing behind a pulpit today. Probably wouldn't even be in church if I hadn't have went to the Word. If I hadn't have got hungry for the Word of God, the things, even though God would have probably had a calling on my life, Even though God had a purpose in my life because the gifts and callings of God without repentance, He calls different ones. If I had not have went for the Word, if I had not have went for the truth, if I had not have been growing, even though God had a plan for my life, I would have never stepped into that plan or fulfilled my destiny that God called me to do. You know, I'm telling you, we have a lot to do whether we reach our destiny or not. Somebody, could I hear a better amen or right? Come on now. So he says, you got to hunger and crave the Word of God like babies crave milk. And he said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to grow thereby it. Thereby it. When you're reading the Word of God, I said it Wednesday night, I think, even the baguettes will give you nourishment. Y'all know where the baguettes are? Matthew chapter 1. So-and-so begets so-and-so and so-and-so and begets so-and-so. You said, there ain't no nourishment in there. I guess there is. There's something that'll help you. Huh? Paul said this. No, Romans. Let's go to Romans real quick. We gotta hear these things. Romans 12. Y'all know what it says here. Actually, the Lord told me to go to these this morning. I didn't even have it on my notes. Romans 12, 1 says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, well, I don't know the will of God for my life. It's because you're still conformed to the world. I kind of look at it like this. It says, be not conformed to the world of God. But can I tell you what I feel like it really should be? I mean, I'm not changing the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. I just listen to what I'm going to say. Don't stay conformed. Because we're already conformed to the world, aren't we? We get born again, we already have all the world's ideals and everything else. He said, don't stay that way. Don't be conformed, or don't stay conformed to the world, but be transformed or changed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. That you may prove for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. You say, well, I know the will of God for your life. Well, I tell you what, you may know the will of God for somebody else's life, but you better know the will of God for yours. Because you don't have no control over that other person's, whether they fulfill it or not. But you do yours. Huh? Listen, listen to me, nobody's mad yet. Everybody's still here. The thing about it is, if you're still thinking the same way you always thought before you were born again, now don't get me wrong, thoughts come, but there's got to be a process of change there. There's got to be a time when your thinking changes, where you're not thinking the same old way all the time. Now those thoughts will shoot into your head, don't get me wrong. They'll come by there and they'll try to lodge there, but listen to me, thoughts are just this, they come to you, but they don't have to stay with you. They'll come to you, but they don't have to stay with you. In other words, you can cast them down. Why? When you're thinking the Word of God, listen, God's whole purpose for our life is to think the Word. To think God's thoughts. Well, isn't that what Isaiah 55 says? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Listen, if God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways, what's going to benefit us is when we find out His thoughts and His ways. And when we find that out and we start renewing our mind, renewing our mind, we're being disconnected to something and connected to something else. So God wants to disconnect us from this worldly way or these worldly thoughts and get us connected to the spiritual way of living and the spiritual thoughts that the Word produces in our life. In other words, if the doctor says you're sick, you're going to die. The Word of God says you'll live and not die and declare the glories of God. The Word of God says by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. What'd you do? I'm disconnecting myself to the doom and gloom of the world, and I'm connecting myself to the spiritual realities of what God said about my life. Why? Because you're being not conform to that way, but to the way that God has said you are. So we got to understand, I've got to desire the Word of God, because the only way I'm not going to know the plans and purposes of God and the will of God for my life, if as I get into the Word of God and get hungry for the Word of God and then go after it. Whew. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. This was the love chapter Paul wrote that we read all about. Love never fails, and love's good, kind, not rude, and stuff like this. But in verse 11, he says this. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Listen, there's a growth process in the kingdom, just like there is in the natural. If something was with your child and they weren't growing the way they should be growing, you're going to think something's wrong. And there probably is. And you're going to be start trying to figure out what's wrong. Am I right? I want to find out what's wrong. I'm going to do all the necessary things that I can do to find out what's wrong with my child, because we know something is not right because they are not growing appropriately. Why? Because listen to me. Now, there could be some issues and some problems in there. When you find out, you have authority to take over that, where you can change that situation and turn it. But when Paul said, I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. I thought as a child. But then there came a time when I became a man and I put away childish things. Listen to me. There's so many people in the body of Christ that are still thinking like kids, acting like kids, behaving like kids and such as that, when they ought to put those things aside and say, I'm going to become a man of God. I'm going to become a woman of God, and I'm going to start acting appropriately to what the Word of God says I am and who I am. And I'm going to start handling situations in a godly manner and in a spiritual manner rather than in a fleshly manner as I would if I was a child. Huh? Listen, I'm glad I'm not no kid no more. But I'm sure I still have some childish ways at times. Huh? And I know when I act childish. My wife knows when I act childish. You say, really? Don't they all look at me so holy like you never got to put those things away sometimes? We got to put some things away. And say, you know, I'm born again. I belong to God. I'm growing up. I don't want to be caught in a situation that I don't know what to do. I will not lose because of ignorance. I don't want to lose because of ignorance. And there's a lot of people losing their battles because of ignorance, because they don't know. Ignorance is not a bad word. It's not calling you stupid. Ignorance means you don't know. And I'm telling you, ignorance is robbing a lot of people from the benefits of the kingdom of God. And the only way you're going to change that is through knowledge. And that knowledge comes from the Word of God. Listen, God has given us everything in this Bible that will put our feet on the path to victory every day of our lives. If we will just say, I'm going to read it, and don't use a cop-out excuse like some people do and say, well, I don't understand it, so I'm just not going to read it. Really? I kind of know a little bit what goes on in my body and how my body works, but I don't know it all, but I still keep putting food in it. I don't know how God figured out it comes in here and then goes out and all such, and it goes through all this process, gives me the nourishment in my body. Instead of, I don't know how all that works, but I just keep putting food in me. I may not understand everything I'm reading, but when I'm reading it and I'm putting it through in my eye gates and in my ear gates, it's going into my life, and the entrance of thy word is giving me light, and it's producing a change in my life. Even if I don't understand it, it's still ministering to me, and it's still helping me. And are we hearing this? It's when we say, well, I don't understand it, so I'm just going to shelf it. No. You need to keep eating it. I don't understand. How are you going to take this piece of steak and you're going to put it in take all this stuff out? It's going to go through my body, do what it needs to do. And then, all that other stuff. And so I don't understand that, so I'm not going to eat no more. No. I'm going to keep eating steak, potatoes, some of the better things of life. And I'm going to keep doing it. All I know is I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All I know that I still got all my body parts that I came in here with and plan on keeping them throughout the duration of my life. And every single one of them has some kind of purpose in my body, to do something in my body to cause me to live and be blessed and such as that. So I need to put the right things in my body. Listen to me. God has a purpose for you to live and not die and declare the glories of our God. And if you get into the Word of God and that nutrition of the Word, here's what it's going to do. The Word of God is going to start producing faith in your life. And confidence in your life. And it's going to change your attitude towards the Word and towards God and towards everything and everybody around you. God is literally working in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure inside of you. And when you're hearing the Word of God, it's literally changing. And something's been producing something in your life to cause you to live in victory every single day. There's not one person that ought to be living defeated in this world that says they know Jesus Christ. Now, we may be babies at times, but praise God, Paul said, I was a baby, I was a child, and then I became a man. And when I became a man, I put away some things. Why? Because there's some things that are hindering your progression in God. Hallelujah. Whoo! Makes me want to preach. Look at 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 5:17. Y'all know this scripture. You probably want to quote. Man, I ain't even getting to where I want to get to. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is. Everybody shout, he is. Say this, I am. A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. So he said, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation, a creation or a species that never existed before. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. When did he become a new creation? The moment he confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart that Jesus died and rose again, the Bible says they were a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what does that mean? That means the old way ought to be passing away in our lives. Listen, we can't expect nothing different to change in our life if we're not doing nothing different. I'm telling you, we got to believe. Listen, I became a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Even when those old desires come up, you say, no, 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 that's passed away. That was my old life. That man died. He died. I'm a born-again believer now, and now I've been united and hooked up with God. My old life is dead and gone. Now I have a new life that's here, and I'm living for God. And people are to see that new life. Amen. It says, now all things are of God. When does things become of God? Those things come of God when you put away the old things and let the new things come in. He says, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we may become the righteousness of God in him. How many? Righteousness means right standing. That means being made right with God. You know, people, you know, and I said this Wednesday night, I'll say it again, I probably said it for no telling how many thousands of times in the 30-something years, but I'm telling you something, so many people live under the condemnation of their sin consciousness because they have a sin consciousness, not a righteousness consciousness. And he says, listen to me, you hear people all the time, and you probably do too, and you might have said this before, and if it is, I'm just gonna rebuke you right now. Because here's the thing about it is, you've got to understand you became a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Jesus became sin for you that you might be made righteous. And once you've been born again, you are now righteous. Everybody say righteous. Say, that's what I am. I'm righteous. But so many people has got this mentality that, well, I'm not worthy. See, there's a lot of Christians still going before God like, I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy. And so they hear, still have that unworthy consciousness about them and thinking, I'm just not worthy. I'm not worthy to come to your throne. I'm not worthy to pray. I'm not worthy to do this. I'm not worthy to do that. When in essence, you are worthy because the blood of Jesus made you worthy. And listen, the Bible says it wiped out all the requirements of the handwritings that was written against you. It's wiped them out and you become a new creation in Christ and you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's about time the church begins to act right. Righteous. Say, I am righteous. And listen, I got delivered from that sin consciousness many years ago. But I've been around a lot of people that still have it. And it's sad. It's sad for them that they have that sin consciousness. Because when you have a sin consciousness, you will not go boldly to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy, to find help in time of need. Why? Because you don't feel like you're worthy. But when you know you're righteous, you have no problem just barging into the throne room of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. We enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And when we go in, you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a born again child of God. And when that sin consciousness, that guilt tries to come upon you, you're to kick it off like you would a spider or something on you. I hate spiders. I guess that's why I said it. Come on. You say, how does that happen, Pastor? It's when you get born again and you get a craving for the Word of God and you go for it with everything you got and you go in there and say, I want to find out what just happened to me. I want to find out because so many people live their whole life and they still live under the guilt of their past, the guilt and shame of what they did wrong. And I'm telling you something, that's a horrible way for anybody to live, much less a Christian. You can't allow the devil to run your life. After all, he's the one that you got delivered from. The kingdom of darkness. And you got to embrace the Word of God, even when you may not understand all that it's saying and what it's meaning in your life. You're nurturing, you're feeding yourself, and you're growing thereby. Desiring the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans, if you will, real quick. Romans chapter 5. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, talking about Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Listen, he says this, and we've received the gift of righteousness. We've been made righteous. He said, here's what will happen. You'll reign, the Bible says you'll reign as kings in life. You'll reign as kings in life. God wants his church to reign and to rule. Huh? He didn't talk about us being ruled over. He told us to rule. Amen? So many times we don't know that. We don't know God likens us to kings and priests unto our God. And so he said, we have the free gift of righteousness. We are righteous. And we're going to reign through the one Jesus Christ. We reign through Jesus on this earth. So listen, we've got to understand that we've got to come to a knowledge of who we are in God, what Jesus did for us, what took place on from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's letters describe to us and tell us about. And Lord, notice it goes on to say, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Through the act of one man, Adam, in the garden 2,000 to 6,000 years ago, many were made sinners, but by the act of Jesus, by what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection, many, the Bible says, will be made righteous. When will they be made righteous? When they accept him as their Savior and their Lord. That's when they're made righteous. They're made right standing with God. We are righteous. Say it with me. I'm righteous. Say, I'm not a sinner. You got to get that. You got to change this. Isn't that what the Bible's telling us in Romans? Change your mind. Change the way you think. You can be born again in your spirit and still think the same old thing before that you was. If you're not renewing your mind and say, I'm the righteous, sometimes you just got to say something a little bit. Now, I'll tell you what, confession, the Bible says confession is something important that we need to do. But I tell you what, let me say this without getting you too far off track. Confession, how many times you confess something does not mean it's going to happen. Because you can say something 1,000 times and it never change anything. But when you confess it and believe it, I said, when you confess it and believe it, you lay, hey, the Bible says hold fast. See, a lot of people, they make a confession, but they're really not holding on to it. It's just something they say. Preacher told me to say it. Now, through the process of your saying it and believing it, it's changing and making some adjustments in your thoughts. And then it's causing revelation to drop down in your heart, and that revelation causes you to rise up and say, here's who I am, and that's why you stand against all the attacks of the devil. Why? Because something inside of you is saying, that's wrong. Sickness is not right. Poverty's not right. Right. Whatever it is, why? Because you've been building into you, you've been changing your mind, and you've been changing your thought processes, and now you're beginning to act and respond in a different way. Listen, we can be born again, you know. It would be miserable not to know who I am. It'd be miserable not to know who I am. You know, you see people right now dealing with autism and Alzheimer's and such as that. Why? They don't even know who they are. The devil's robbing them of even knowing who they are. In a sense, the devil has robbed a lot of Christians of knowing who they are. Tell them, you're all right. Listen, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to shut up. When I got born again, I got born again because I wanted to go to heaven. I'll just be honest with you. I wanted to forsake hell. And I wanted to go to heaven. That's why I asked Jesus into my life. Anybody besides me, you don't have to raise your hands. I just wanted to go to heaven. But when I got born again, something stirred in me to find out more. And heaven's good. Don't get me wrong. I want to go to heaven. But Jesus said, I want you to have heaven on earth. I got to find out what heaven's like to have it here. And so I wanted to not just serve, just be existing as a Christian. I wanted to be excelling as a Christian. I wanted to go up higher. I wanted to grow, and I can't grow apart from the Word of God. I want to be a faith person. I can't have my faith can go no further than what the Word level in my life. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, then I've got to hear the Word of God to get my faith built up to believe God for whatever may come my way. I'm going to have faith, because without faith, we cannot please God. And so we're growing as Christians. We're finding out that, bless God, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because of what Adam did, all were sinners. But by what Jesus did, all will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Thank God for grace. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we'd be in trouble without grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of your works, lest any man should boast. But I'm telling you something about grace, that it's been so misunderstood in our generation right now. Because grace is not telling us, okay, because of grace you go out and live any way you want to live, and it's okay. Paul told us several times in the book of Romans, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid, or certainly not. Now, thank God for grace, because we make mess up and make mistakes. And I'm telling you something, because of the blood, because of grace, because of mercy, we're not consumed. But I'm telling you, grace is an empower. Listen, grace is an empowerment to enable you to live right for God. And I'm telling you, thank God for grace. I said, thank God for grace. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Praise God. So I know I didn't get but to a very small portion of my sermon this morning. But if we just, I hope we got something out of this. Because I tell you, we got to get hungry for the Word. I've got a little old calf right now that you say, why do you keep going back to cows? I don't know, because I guess they just get hungry and they want to eat. And I had a calf show up in my pasture, and a newborn calf that had an umbilical cord and everything just showed up. Wasn't none of my cows. Went to my neighbors, couldn't find any. Anyway, so I went and started feeding that calf. I'll tell you what that calf did. I went out there, and I was driving around at my pasture, and she got a hold of one of my cows that had milk. She was hungry. She said, I'm going to get it any way I can, whether it's my mama or not. I'm going to take it. And that mama cow, she wouldn't stop and let her nurse, and I knew that, so I knew there was another calf sucking, so she wouldn't get up what she needed, so I took her to my house, and I got them big bottles, and the first time I give her that bottle, she sucked it down, and she drank all of it, but that's all she could handle, was just a bottle. Now, I'm giving her two of those 2-quart bottles twice a day. And she sucked some dry, if she had sucked the bottom out of it, if I didn't pull it out of her mouth. Well, cause she's hungry. She's hungry, but here's what I'm seeing her do now. She's eating some feed. Starting to eat some feed. See, there's coming time we got to get off, we got to get to something a little stronger. A little stronger. And God told me this one time in closing. He said, Randy, as a pastor, when you preach, you have to give word, milk, and you have to give meat. Because you have people of all ages sitting in your congregation. People that need milk, people that need meat. But I found out sometimes milk can get thick. Be pretty thick. Even Peter said what Paul says is tough. It's hard to understand, but it's good. But it's good. Isn't that what Peter told him about Paul? He said, but it's good. It's good. Man, y'all need to eat it. Y'all need to listen to him because it's good. It's kind of hard. It's kind of rough. It's kind of hard to understand, but it's good. Amen. Sometimes we hear the Word of God and say, that preacher was preaching right at me. You know, let me say this in closing. If that's the way you feel, good. Because God thought something about you that He would give you a message from the pastor to help you. Amen. I've had people leave the church because they said I preached right at them. And every pastor I know says the same thing. People leave because he's preaching just at me. You know, if I sit there and I thought that preacher is preaching right at me, I'd say, thank you, Jesus. You thought I was special enough to give me the special attention this morning. Huh? God's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you that we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And you said we'd be filled. So God, I pray that a craving, a desire for the Word of God will be stirred on the inside of each and every one of us, God. God, we've got to go after it. It won't help us if all we do is talk about it. We've got to go after it. We know we need the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Father, we thank you that your Word is nutrition to us. Your Word causes strength in our lives, our spirit, and our mind, and our body. God, I pray that each and every one of us in this house today will be stirred up to go to the Word, to go to the Word, to hear to read the Word of God. God, we don't have to read the whole Bible in a night. We don't even have to read a whole book in a night. We could just read a chapter. Just a chapter. And let you teach us what you want us to know in that chapter. We could read a verse and just chew on it. And let that bring nutrition to our spirit man. Where our spirit man will grow. We'll begin to gain the thoughts of God. And And those thoughts that we gain of God will take us to the high places with God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We appreciate you so much for what you're doing in our lives.